Thank you, Dr. Lee. Our next presenter is Dr. Patricia Dykes, and she is from the Brigham and Women's Hospital here in Boston. You may have noticed that we were thinking globally and acting locally with many of our speakers coming from the local area. Conference theme, hint, okay. She is the recipient of Nurse.com's National Nursing Excellence Award for advancing and leading the profession of nursing, and she is going to be offering a view from hospital, home, and assisted living facilities.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure to have the opportunity to talk about some of the work our team has done looking at fall reduction in inpatient settings. I have no disclosures to report or no conflicts to report. So we're all here because we recognize patient falls as an important public health problem. We've already heard that falls are a leading cause of death and disability, that the percentage of fall-related deaths increases with age, and the direct medical costs of falls are quite high, over $19 billion a year. We've also heard that hospitalization increases the risk for falls, with about 3% of acute care hospital patients falling and about 30% of those falls resulting in injury. Between 2007 and 2009, our team did a series of studies looking at why patients in acute care hospitals fall. And I think that the results of this study and our findings are applicable to other inpatient settings. So first we did focus groups interviewing patients who had fallen in the hospital, their family members, also professional and paraprofessional providers in inpatient settings. And we used the findings from those focus groups to construct a fall prevention toolkit, which we implemented. We did a randomized control trial and tested that. And we learned three things. The first was that patient falls in inpatient settings are a communication problem, that fall risk assessment is done routinely, and that planning is done continuously for patients in inpatient setting, but the degree to which the results of the assessments and the results of this personalized plan are communicated to the patient, to the family, and to the other members of the team is quite variable. And because not everybody on the team has the same information, preventative interventions are not applied consistently. We also learned that fall prevention is a three-step process. It's assessment using a valid and reliable assessment scale. It's planning, so taking the results of that assessment and developing a personalized plan for that patient or a tailored plan. And then it's intervention, so not just planning the interventions, but making sure that they are applied every time. So interventions that support communication and collaboration in the three steps of the fall prevention process are effective. And so we found in 6 months of our trial, we reduced falls in inpatient hospitals by 22%. So why did our fall tips toolkit work? Well, we think that, first of all, we closed the communication gap that was, or our silos that were happening in the inpatient settings, and also the tools really supported collaboration around the three steps of the fall prevention process. We heard loud and clear from the stakeholders that we needed to leverage existing workflows, that acute care settings are very busy, that there isn't a lot of time to do lots of new work, that we had to look at what they were doing and help them to do that smarter. And we saw that routinely that fall risk assessments were being completed and that they very often used high risk for fall signs. We also heard that teamwork was important, that it wasn't up to just the nurses to prevent falls, that this was a team approach, and they needed tools that would support the team working together. That communication was important, that we heard again and again that the nurses are doing the fall risk assessment, they're documenting a plan somewhere in the record, but then we heard from the physicians and the physical therapists that they weren't quite sure where those were documented. We heard about tailoring, that, you know, the interventions you need for patients who are at risk because they have a gait disturbance are different than a patient who has a cognitive disturbance. And so it's very important not just to know that a patient's at risk for falls or they're at high risk for falls, but why they're at risk. And again, what is that personalized plan that will mitigate risk? And surveillance. So particularly in the acute care hospitals, the trend is one-bed rooms. So that means that we have these long hallways, and the staff are walking up and down the hallway. They need to know at a glance whether it's their patient or not. If a patient's getting up, is it okay for them to get up? We don't want to restrict mobility in people that should be up walking. But if a patient needs help, we need to know that too. So I'm just going to give you a brief peek at the toolkit that we built. So here on your left-hand side is the fall risk assessment, and that's the Morse fall scale. And so they were already using the Morse fall scale at all the hospitals, but what they were doing is once they completed the fall risk assessment, they were going somewhere else to develop a plan, and that plan was staying in the medical record. What we did on the right-hand side is we identified the interventions through the focus groups that were thought by our stakeholders to be both effective and feasible in inpatient settings. And so when the provider completed the fall risk assessment, the interventions that were most likely to prevent a fall based on that patient's individual risk profile were automatically selected. The plan could be further personalized based on knowledge of the patient, but once it was filed, then a couple tools were produced automatically. One was a tailored patient education handout. So we learned in our focus groups that, you know, patients told us they were often told that they were at risk, but they didn't necessarily believe it. And so this handout, very often the workflow was that the nurse would take this to the patient, tell the patient that they did a fall risk assessment, this is why you're at risk, this is how we can work with you to prevent a fall while you're hospitalized. And by the way, do you mind if I hang this bed poster above your bed? So this way, anyone who comes in here will know how to help you. So for this particular patient, you know, if the nursing assistant, if PT, if the nurse comes in, they know that this patient has a history of falls, therefore they're more likely to fall again and in the same way, that they can get up out of bed, but they need assist of one person. They also need their ambulatory aid. Very often in these hospital rooms, there's a walker and a cane on the bed, on the windowsill, so they'll know which one. And then also, the patient is either confused or they don't reliably call for help. And so if I do walk this patient to the bathroom, I know I can't leave them there by themselves. I need to stay with them. Also, the plan of care in this particular hospital, the plan of care was on paper, so that also automatically printed out and was put in the paper chart. In the hospitals where we had electronic record, it would populate the electronic plan. So with that glimpse at our toolkit and sticking to my 8-minute time frame, I will acknowledge our team, the Fall TIPS teams, and TIPS is Tailoring Interventions for Patient Safety. We had a broad participation from investigators from different disciplines, nurses, physicians, usability experts, informaticians, and biostatisticians, and I think it helped us to really think about the problem of fall prevention in new and innovative ways. And also, we were funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and Partners Healthcare. Thank you.